This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Melody Cederstrom, who sells gold and silver, and they support Radio Liberty, and we support Melody. We think she does a great job. In fact, we get a number of comments from their customers that are very, very pleased with the way she's treated them. So, and the fact that they would call us to tell us that is really quite a tribute. Under any circumstances, we're going to be talking about what's happening financially, and I know some of you may get tired of hearing about what's happening financially, and yet, of course, you have to begin preparing if you have not already, because we're facing some very difficult times. We find that the United States Central Bank, which we call the Federal Reserve System, the Ben Bernanke, who is the chairman of that, is simply not telling the truth. If you actually read his testimony before the United States Senate Banking Committee, and the same testimony gave before the House Banking Committee, I believe is around the 27th of February, he said that there really is no inflation. And yet he said, we look at the statistics, we can assure you there's no inflation. Well, I read the statistics, and I will tell you they know there's inflation, and they're simply lying about them. They've come up with a new system of calculating inflation. They call it hedonics. H-E-D-O-N-I-C-S, which is really a clever ruse for saying we're lying. We've come up with new means of determining that there's no inflation, because if there was inflation, well, we'd have to pay the elderly people on Social Security up to 10-12% more every year, compounding year after year because of the inflation, because, of course, according to the legislature, the Social Security payments are to be indexed to inflation. Well, they don't want to put the money out, so they simply lie about the degree of inflation. Same thing is true for the people who are foolish enough to buy treasury bonds that were indexed to inflation. And, of course, they were told the truth. They would have to pay them an additional 10%, because that's about what inflation is running at the present time. And so when the president, when the chairman of the Federal Reserve System can go before the House and the Senate and simply lie, and nobody calls him on it, the one thing he did say that was true, he said that a number of our smaller banks are going to go down. They're simply going to have to close their doors. You would think that would have been headlines, that certainly if somebody was talking about a number of bank failures coming up down the line, but certainly we're already seeing a number of the hedge funds collapsing. Probably 50 or more hedge funds have gone under already. In fact, Carlyle Capital, that's a subdivision of Carlyle Corporation, one of the largest corporations, international corporations. Carlyle Capital is getting margin calls it can't meet, and it has over $21 billion under its control. It had that, and based upon about $600 million of investments, leveraged some 35 times or something like that. Ridiculous. And Carlyle Capital, certainly one of the mainstays of the hedge funds, may very well go down. We're in terrible times. Price of houses is falling. The housing industry is falling. Many of our banks are frankly insolvent, and most Americans have no idea what's going on. Good evening, Melody. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. I'm fine, thank you.
Well, when we get back, we want to get your view on what's going on, because certainly you're in the gold and silver business, and it looks like gold went right through the roof, up over $1,000, at least for a time today. Is that right?
It certainly did.
And silver is, of course, doing very well, and platinum is doing very well, and oil is up to $111, or maybe even higher. Well, I'll let you bring us up to date when we get back here in just a moment, right here at Radio Liberty. And ladies and gentlemen, begin making your preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. Well, Melody, how did things close the day?
Well, we did have gold, did touch 1,000, I believe it was just a tad over 1,000. and it was the first time ever. And, of course, it was all due to the dollar plunging, fears of the health of the U.S. economy. And not only the U.S. economy, but there is international problems, and people are beginning to see this. The inflationary pressures are not just here, but they're worldwide. There is no new supply, and people are gradually beginning to see gold and the precious metals as a safe haven to turn to, because there is such huge uncertainty. And, of course, the precious metals was always an avenue in which one could turn to during times just like these. So it was good to see gold finally reach 1,000. My view, I wish it was still around 500, because I know the higher it goes, the more problems and seriousness this country faces, and it hurts everyone out there. But 1,000 was certainly a psychological mark, and so I think we'll see if it closes above 1,000 3 days in a row. I think it'll be a good chance that it'll continue onward. So it's good to see that, but again, it's the old double-edged sword. Things are serious out there, folks. I remember watching Bernanke in a speech a year or so ago, and he watches the gold prices every day. And he doesn't watch it because he's invested in it. It's, again, it's a sign of what's going on, and they just flat-out lie about everything. And, you know, if you call it, what's that old saying? If you call it a duck long enough or something like that, it'll be a duck. But the silver's done very well. We had silver up again. It really burst through the $15 level and is now maintaining a positive strength around the $20 level.
Oh. Go ahead. And do you know where it closed today?
Today it was at 2061.
2061?
2061. And we've certainly seen platinum and palladium do very well, but a lot of the platinum and palladium movement has been due to the power outages in South Africa. But I think they're also benefiting from what is happening and also the upward move in gold. So but, you know, they're a little more of the volatility metals. And platinum and palladium have always been looked at as good economy metals, because when you have a good economy, people are buying vehicles and other items, jewelry. And, of course, we all know that platinum and palladium are very important metals when it comes to the automobile and the catalytic converter. So,
Do you have any idea how oil closed today?
Oil was up at 110, a little over 110. It's pulled back a little
bit. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney Melody was saying that gold had hit over $1,000 an ounce today, and it backed off a little. Silver had closed at $20.61 today. Certainly platinum and palladium were both up. And that Sydney, oil had been up to 110, and where did it close? Do we have any idea?
It was 110.33, up 41 cents. I believe in the aftermarket it's down a little bit, but not much. It's still 109.
And I think that what we're going to see is oil is going to continue going up. If there is a war in the Middle East, which is quite obvious, that the administration still wants an excuse to attack Iran. That's, I believe, why they had Admiral Fallon resign from his position as head of the Central Command over there, because he wasn't going to go along with this foolishness. He didn't want to attack Iran. He wanted to get our troops out of Iraq so we could begin to build our army, because if we were attacked anywhere in the world tomorrow, why, we don't have the military facilities to act efficiently. We've destroyed so much of our equipment over there. We've destroyed the lives of so many of our military people, and they're simply exhausted, and Admiral Fallon recognized that, and he wants, of course, to take time to rebuild our army, and the administration has no intention of doing that. They're going to pursue and ultimately destroy our military, but if you hate America, that's pretty well what you would do, because, of course, these people have a different worldview. Their loyalty is not to America, but to the idea of a new world order, a new world religion, a new world leader. And if you understand that, so many of the things going on really make sense. Well, what do you hear, Melody, as far as the economy is concerned? Certainly we hear, you know, about the price of houses falling all across the country, not every community, but on the average, why, many of the homes are down almost $100,000, from $760,000 down to about $750,000, $650,000, and And certainly we know the housing construction business is in real problems, and certainly the financial industry is laying off an awful lot of people. But my understanding is that even the jobs growth is simply stopped, and the unemployment is increasing. All signs of a faltering economy. What do you hear?
You're absolutely correct. And also, you know, when we talk about the housing market and the prices dropping and people who can't get loans, they can't sell their homes, we have to remember the importance that the housing market played the past several years. I mean, this whole economy was pushed because of this housing market. I mean, the American people lived on their houses. Their houses were their ATMs. And, of course, their survival. I mean, they were using their housing, their equities to live, to support their habits, their buying habits. And they were basically junkies, and they did everything possible they could to get as much money as they could as to keep their standard of living as high as they placed it. And then they went from their housing to their credit cards, in which they used their credit cards in order to survive. It was their living expenses, you know, just to buy the basic staples of living, the food, the groceries, the children's books and clothing for school, and of course medications. Anyone is based on medications, the prices that they have to pay, and it will continue, and it will, you know, it will stop. So the housing played a very important part. And people now, of course, we've seen the foreclosures, and I saw a tidbit today where they saw that the foreclosures were down like 4%, but yet they were up over a year 60%. So that's how they spin everything. You know, they'll show you that the positive, but then they very rarely will they show you the truth about it. So they do like to spin the news and confuse people, and that's certainly where the people are today. But it's there's a lot of people that will be hurt out there, but I believe people are beginning to, perhaps they don't understand what's going on, but I think, you know, when you have, you know, $3.20, $3.50, $4 a gallon of gasoline, they're going to start asking questions. And and they're going to start asking why. And
well, I certainly believe that gasoline's going to go a lot higher here in the United States. I believe it's because they want it to go higher, because if you read Agenda 21, and we have a copy of the Agenda 21 plan for Santa Cruz, they want to get you out of your cars. How are they ever going to get Americans out of their cars? They're going to run the price of gasoline up so high you can't afford it. You go over to Europe today, you're talking about $6, $7, $8 a gallon. They're going to do the same thing here. Why? Because these people have a different agenda. They want to lower our living standards and impoverish our people and force us out of our cars and force us out of our big homes. Why should we have such big homes and live so comfortably in America when people are living in poverty and abject poverty in Darfur and Somalia? And they want equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. And how do you get equitable distribution of wealth between nations? Why, of course, you transfer the wealth of America throughout the world. And that's what they're doing when they have actually encouraged the shifting of our manufacturing base from the United States to other countries. In 1950, we had half the industrial base of the world. Today, we have about 12% of the industrial base of the world is still in the United States. They've simply stripped our factories. They're shipping them overseas. Our manufacturing makes up, I think, 12-14% of our gross domestic product here. And, of course, we have mining and things of that sort. But certainly, there's fully at least two-thirds, perhaps even three-quarters of our gross domestic product is service. And you can't be a great country unless you're a manufacturing country. And we're no longer a manufacturing country. And it did not happen by accident. It happened by intent. There is a plan. It's called the Earth Charter. You can read it on the Internet, or we'll send you a copy of it. And point 10A, they tell you what we want is equitable distribution of wealth within nations. That's, of course, communism. And then between nations, and that's what's going on today as we move to impoverish the American people and lower their living standards. You know, when you tell people that, Melody, I don't think most people believe that could really be going on, because if it were, why wouldn't Rush Limbaugh tell us?
Or either Oprah.
Right.
One of the two. But, yes, that's who they turn to the news. And, you know, when you look at these, like Rush and Oprah and these other mainstream radio personalities, it's almost like a cult. I mean, people, you know, they have so much faith in these people and into what they say that you're right. If they say it, it must be true. And if they don't say it, they don't need to know about it. So, I guess there's many things about this, things that are going on, and the manipulation and the conditioning of the people for their beliefs, and it certainly has started a long time ago, and we're just coming to where they want us, and if anybody thinks it's any different, well, it really isn't. But people, whether they'll wake up, and I often wonder why there's just a group, such a small percentage of people that really see through to the truth.
Well, our job, of course, is to point out what's happening. Of course, what's happening is they're doing everything to make the problem worse. We've got a problem, and instead of addressing the problem and letting the economy contract, and there will be some pain and some problems, what they're doing, of course, is setting out to destroy the value of our currency. How do you do that? Why, you keep creating new money out of nothing. And, of course, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal in very, very small print that commented that the United States Federal Reserve System is shipping massive amounts of money to the central banks of Europe so that they can, of course, correct the problems over there, not inflate their money supply. They're not inflating their money supply. They're maintaining their interest rates so they won't have inflation. So we're shipping them our money to stabilize their banks over there. And we sent some $20 billion to Credit Suisse, the second largest bank in Switzerland. Why don't the Swiss central bank stabilize their banks? No, they're going to get it from America. We're creating all sorts of new money. They're going to come up with a program for another $200 billion to ship to our banks here in the United States, so that they will have more money. But the problem is not liquidity. The problem is solvency. A lot of these banks have made foolish loans, and of course they're insolvent. Products that they have that are backing the bank. A bank has to have a certain amount of money on hand, and instead of that, they have asset-backed securities or collateralized debt obligations that are really worth relatively nothing. And so they've got to get money to remain solvent, and that's why many of our banks are going down, because they are insolvent. And certainly, the federal government is not going to nationalize all the banks as they did over in England with Northern Rock. They nationalized the bank to keep it from going insolvent. It was the sixth largest bank in Great Britain. And, of course, they'd gotten into the same problems many of our banks are in. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question or comment for Melody. What's really so interesting is, of course, that they're talking now about lowering the interest rates here even further. They've, through a series of lowering of the interest rates, they've taken this down to about 3%. They're talking about going down to 2% with further cuts. And, of course, this is going to have a tremendous inflationary pressure on our economy. And inflation, remember, has nothing to do with rising prices. Rising prices are the product of inflation. It is increasing the money supply and making credit readily available that stimulates the economy and ultimately leads to the collapse of economies. It's happened hundreds of times down through the centuries, and it's happening in the United States today, and everybody says, oh, that couldn't happen. Why? It could never happen here. We may have a bad time temporarily, but we could never see runaway inflation in the United States. And I would like to say, why not? Certainly, if we don't have people who are willing to raise the interest rates and cut back on the currency, why, we're going to see 20% inflation perhaps by the end of this year. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Melody Cedarstrom. Welcome your calls at Radio Liberty. Well, Melody, how is the gold and silver business? Are people buying a lot of gold and silver at the present time, or are they just sort of frightened because the prices are so high?
Well, it's both. See, those that are smart enough and understand and are able to, of course, and they have been rearranging their financial portfolios, and they're certainly either adding to or beginning to add gold and silver. So we are seeing that, and then plus we have those that are still hesitant at buying at this level because they feel that, you know, they hear the rumblings on the major news media that where gold's too high, it's going to pull back, and because gold's never been here before and commodities are all going to fall. They don't talk about the real fundamentals underneath gold, so a lot still do not understand what gold truly does, so, and how it will perform in these type of markets and how people will turn to these to gold in this time. So you have a little bit of both of that going on at this point in time. We've seen business, it was pretty much business as usual, but I think that was due to the people waiting for a pullback. And I just can't see a pullback coming. People have been calling for a pullback, those who follow charts, and you just can't base these prices and the markets on charts anymore. Not when it is rigged, and not when we have a not when you're in a trend, and not when you have the fundamentals underneath that we have gold. And anything from a left field can come due, like we saw in South Africa with their power outages and the prices on platinum and palladium. So those are things that charts never see. So I can't imagine a pullback. I think it's going higher. And so if you're looking to, one thing I can recommend to customers, if they're concerned about a pullback, they can always do a little bit of cost averaging. If they have a certain amount, they can take half of it, buy it today. If it goes down, that's great. They can buy in it again. Or if it goes up, and they can pick a limit where they want to get in. If it goes higher, they can get in, and it will still lower their prices because they purchased a little bit earlier at a lower price. So you can do that if you have a substantial amount that you're looking to put into the market, and you're just, you know, if you're waiting for a pullback, and it's one way that you can cover yourself if it doesn't happen.
Well, you know, one of the hardest things, I think, for the average person to understand is the idea that the value of the dollar is falling. But because of inflation, you compare, for instance, where we are today to where we were in 1980 when gold hit $850 an ounce, something like that. But for gold, with the inflation corrected dollars, to get to where we were in 1980, we'd have to be well over $2,500 an ounce. So, because the value of the American dollar has fallen that much, almost 2.5 times, certainly over the last, since 1981, or since 1980. And certainly people look at the stock market and say, well, gee, you know, the stock market's really doing pretty well. But if you stop and think, you know, what we're dealing with is inflation-corrected dollars, why, it's an entirely different picture. And until people can understand the ravages of inflation and how they're eroding values in this country, you can't see what's happening. The home I sold for, I think, $70,000 back in 1975 is list now over $2 million, and of course this same thing is happening all across America. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom, and if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for her, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. People have to understand that the Federal Reserve System is doing everything wrong. And I don't believe these people are stupid. I think that they are in the process of simply eroding and destroying the value of our currency. Why would they want to do that? Because they're dedicated to the idea of a one-world government. And you can't have a one-world government and have a whole flock of independent countries having their own currency. You're going to have a one-world government, you've got to have a one-world currency. So you've got to destroy the currency, especially of the most powerful nation in the world. And that's what they're in the process of doing. And there's no better way, as Lenin said, to debauch to destroy a nation than to debauch its currency. I'm quoting from Alan Greenspan's book, The Age of Turbulence. There's no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch the currency, and not one person in a million will understand what's happening. Not one person in a million will understand what's happening. And that, of course, statement was attributed to Lenin. It's exactly what's going on in America today. And people don't understand inflation. They see the prices going up and they're concerned about it without realizing, of course, that this is all manipulated and created. Actually, oil is really rather cheap the way it was. You know, I remember when oil was $35 a barrel, but the dollar would buy so much more at that time. And as the value of the dollar goes down, why, of course, the Arabs have to increase the price of their oil to keep up with purchasing power. They're not stupid. They want to be able to purchase, and they're quite willing, of course, to keep raising the price of oil. And I think we'll look back on $110, $111 a gallon, a barrel for oil as the good old days. I think it's going to keep right on going up. There may be a few pullouts, but I really believe that we're going to see oil going up to $150 a barrel, $200 a barrel, $250 a barrel. No need for it at all. We've got plenty of oil. But, of course, the environmental movement won't let us develop it. And, of course, who finances the environmental movement? Why, the American government, the great tax-exempt foundations, and, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the oil companies. Why? Because if you create artificial shortages, they make more money. And, of course, last quarter of last year, Exxon made more money than any corporation has ever had throughout all history because, of course, there are artificial shortages created in large part by the environmental movement financed by the oil companies. And the average person has no idea what's going on, do they, Melody?
No, they don't. A client of mine has a neighbor that, I believe it was a neighbor, is fairly high up in American Airlines, and he says each year at the end of the year, in their budgets, they'll project what oil is going to be. And for this year, they had projected oil for 08 to be 150 plus. And I think they'll be right on line on that target. And he told me this back in, I believe it was November, December. And so we're certainly seeing the... So everyone seems to know, big business knows where it's going. And what's really tough are those truckers out there, the transportation. They're having difficult problems to hire these gasoline prices rise, which means there's going to have to be a pretty good shakeup going on in the industry, in the transportation industry, as prices continue to rise. And I believe there's even, I don't know, there's some, you might know the story a little bit more than I do. We reported it on it Monday, but the ports in the coast over there closing down.
I hadn't heard about that. You're talking about here, the ports on the West Coast?
Yes, I believe so.
Because
I don't have the story in front of me, so I certainly shouldn't comment on it, but I believe it was something like that, if they didn't pull out of Iraq, if we didn't pull out of Iraq, they were going to strike or close the ports or something like that. I don't have the story in front of me.
Well,
so.
I do know, really on a much different subject, but the people who drive the big rigs that of course, cross-country trucking, the price of the diesel is having a profound impact on them. It's up well over $4 a gallon in many places. It should be, of course, far lower. It's the easiest of all the products to produce. It doesn't take much in the way of work. Diesel fuel has always traditionally been lower, but now they've jacked the prices up. And, of course, this is really hurting the long-term truckers. Because if they can pass the expense on to the companies, well, they will. But if they can't, they're just going to have to quit. And the same thing is true with the farmers. Farmers, of course, their tractors are diesel tractors. But, of course, this is going to run their prices up much higher. And the average individual doesn't see how this all fits together. Right now, of course, oil is one of the keys to this whole thing, and they are planning on the price of oil going up to $150 this year, perhaps much higher. But, of course, you're not going to hear that elsewhere. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Pete calling from Spokane. Hi, Pete. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, doctor. How are you doing?
Doing just fine. Are you, speak right up. Your little voice is a little muffled.
Oh, my kids and I would listen to the radio show quite often. My kids love you.
Okay, well, God bless them. Hopefully we'll get them educated and get them to understand what's really going on in the world.
That's what I'm trying to do. See, I got a couple of comments.
Well, go ahead.
A question. First comment is I work in the interior design industry. We have a small business here in Spokane. And one of our suppliers was in a couple of days ago. I got an order for some granite tile. And I made the quote in November. And here it is, what, 3 or 4 months later, and the price of the granite has gone up 40%. And I was talking to our wholesaler about that, and he said most of the granite comes from Europe, and the euro's lost the, the dollar's lost so much value against the euro. All the prices, but this has gone up 40%.
Your price of granite has gone up 40% here in, what, about 3 months, 4 months?
November.
Right. Well, that's a little scary.
Since November. So my other comment was I have an acquaintance that owns a gas station locally here in Spokane. And a friend of mine and I were talking that he should advertise gas for 25 cents a gallon, granted that the 25 cents they give him is for a pre-1964 quarter, because at the price it's at right now, it's about $3.60 for that one quarter. We were wondering if he did do that, would he then be able to take that legal tender and take his sale at a loss and write down his profits? Do you understand what I'm saying?
And I don't think he's going to have any profit if he does that. I think that would be a stupid thing to do. It might be a good educational program, but
64 quarters are worth $3.60.
They'd have to pay him in a silver quarter, is what you're saying.
Exactly, 1964 quarters.
All right, fine. What are your thoughts on that, Melody?
Well, I don't know about losses and so forth, but I do remember when there was a gas crunch in the 70s, and I was in Arizona at that point in time, and there were gas stations where, not many, there weren't a lot, maybe one, maybe two signs that I saw where they would discount your gasoline by 10% if you paid with pre-64 coinage.
I think that would be an excellent way of pointing out to people what's happened to the value of our currency since 1964. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Pete calling us from Spokane. He said one of his friends was thinking of selling a gasoline for 25 cents a gallon, but you'd have to pay with a pre-1964 quarter, which, of course, was silver, and those quarters are now worth about 10 times what they were worth then, would be quite comparable to the prices today. And so, Pete, I think it would be a great idea to teach people what's going on. People don't understand how they're eroding and destroying the value of our currency. Anything else you wanted to say?
Well, just a question or maybe even a thought. I don't know if you'd know the answer to it, but would he be able to then write a loss on the sale because he only got a quarter for it?
No, I don't think so. I would not try to play games with the Internal Revenue Service. They'll come after you with hammer and tongs. Okay?
Well, legal tender. Anyways, God bless you.
God bless. And have your children continue listening, and hopefully we can teach them about the spiritual battle that's taking place. Good night, and let's go to Tim, who's calling from New Hampshire. Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Stan. I'm Jack in Michigan.
Okay, Jack, you hang on there. We'll be with you in just a minute then. Okay, we've got Tim calling from New Hampshire. Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
Good. How are you tonight?
Doing fine. And once again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Okay, do you have a question or comment, Tim?
Yeah, I do. My phone might be even here because it's a cordless, but just a quick question about American Silver Eagles.
Right.
They're going for like $25.50 now. Are those fairly good investments as far as the price of silver being $20.61?
All right, that's a good question, Melody. Is the Silver Eagle a good investment, do you think?
Well, I really like Silver Eagles, but the price on them should only be around $22, $23.
Okay, when you're buying them through the bank, they're getting like $25 for them, $25.50 now. They've been going steadily up. I mean, a few weeks ago, they were $20, $21.
Yeah, you can buy them from the banks, but I don't think you can sell them back to the banks.
No.
But you can buy them, and there's a pretty good premium, because I believe they get them right through the Treasury and so forth, but you can get them at lower prices.
Okay.
But no, I think it's a great way in which to buy silver. They're beautiful coins. They make great gifts.
Right.
You do pay a premium on them on the front end, but also...
What about Morgans and stuff like that, if you can get them at a discount price, they're good investments?
Well, it depends on which Morgans.
I don't mean for numismatic quality. I'm talking about silver content, basically.
Well, it depends on the price that you pay, because when you go to sell them, you don't get much more than melt value for them. So you pay more than you do for a Silver Eagle sometimes, and then you get less when you go to sell it.
Okay.
So in some instances, depending on the grade and so forth, it's just better to buy a Silver Eagle, in my view, because when you go to sell that Silver Eagle back, you're going to get above spot for it. Right now I buy back Silver Eagles at 50 cents above spot. I bought them back at higher prices than that. So I think in the long run, sometimes you're better off buying a Silver Eagle over a piece or Morgan dollar, depending on the grade, depending on the price, and there's a lot of variables.
Okay.
And it's also suitable. I also look to the suitability to the person. You know, if he's just starting out, I think just regular 90% silver is something people should have before they venture into piece and Morgan dollars.
So like ingots, or are you talking about?
No, the pre-64 coinage.
Yeah.
The quarters, dimes, and 50-cent pieces.
Right. Okay.
Because you don't pay that high a premium. You don't have to buy the uncirculated 90% silver.
Right.
You just get a nice common VG plus grade. They're nice coins.
You're talking quarters here, or?
Quarters, dimes, or 50-cent pieces.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the other
great way to start out.
Okay, thank you for that. And the other question was, if the euro's increasing overseas as far as value goes, why aren't their gas prices going down?
Why aren't their gas prices going down?
Well, you said the American dollar's dropping,
right,
which it is, and then our gas prices are going up. Oil prices are going up, and in effect, gas prices are going up. But the euro's stronger, and their gas prices have been through the roof forever. If a gallon of gas, I know they sell it by the liter, but a gallon of gas in Europe is going for like $6.75 in some cases. Why isn't the euro showing a strong euro? Wouldn't that lower the price of gas in Europe?
Well, do you have a comment on that at all, Melody?
Well, their gasoline over there, a large part of their prices over there is taxes.
And I think that's the big thing. You see, they simply use gasoline taxes to drive the price up, to force people to drive less.
Hmm.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
God bless. And our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Jack, do you have a question on this subject?
Yes. Speaking of the value, the devaluation of the dollar, now I would thought a U.S. dollar was backed by gold or silver, according to the Constitution.
Well,
so
it was, but of course the people in Washington, D.C. don't believe in the Constitution, so they have converted us into a fiat money system, a system with absolutely nothing behind the value of the dollar, and of course they can destroy it as readily as they want to, and that's what they're in the process of doing.
Yeah. I know, so... So then, as I remember a college professor telling me, everything is relative, so I presume that the value of the so-called U.S. dollar is relative to the established value of some nation's currency that is backed by gold or silver. Is that true, like euro dollar?
No, there is no currency that's backed fully by gold or silver today. Supposedly there's some gold behind the European currencies between the euro, but of course they've been selling that gold into the market, so there's far less gold there backing the euro, so it's really not a gold-backed currency. What are your thoughts on what Jack is saying, Melody?
I couldn't understand all of it, but yeah, there's just the euro is backed by so little gold, and the problem with the euro is that, as far as I know, they never signed their constitution. So basically, it's a currency without a constitution. So it has future problems, and there's been discussions where the euro will eventually be no longer. It won't exist in the future. So. The Swiss always had a small backing of gold in their currencies, but pretty much every other major currency is not backed by gold. It's a fiat currency, just like our own, and so they will all have the same problems.
And I really think, Jack, that what this is a transition stage to a global currency.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A global currency that will probably be privately issued by the people of great wealth, and of course then it will be a gold-backed, privately issued currency, which will be the global currency used by everybody in the world. And remember, he who controls the money, or he who controls the gold, rules. That's the golden rule.
Dr. Stan, did you mention that the CFR did publish some article recently regarding that very subject?
Yes, they did. And for our listeners out there, the Council on Foreign Relations, which is our invisible government, which is a front for a secret society that Cecil Rhodes created back in 1891. If you want details on that, it's covered in Professor Quigley's book, long suppressed, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. But the Council on Foreign Relations publication, Foreign Affairs, carried an article, I think it was the middle of last year, talking about creating a global currency, privately issued, backed by gold. And I think that's probably where we're headed one of these days. Anything else, Jack, before we let you go?
Yeah, really on point. Melody is my sister works for the state of Michigan and has invested everything in whatever the state of Michigan had recommended to their employees. And I thought I recalled hearing that there were a number of municipalities' investments that had tanked. Any input on that?
Any thoughts on that at all, Melody?
Well, I know with the housing market, a lot of these municipalities are having difficulties, and from the housing market and the decline of taxes and everything. So there's going to be a lot of areas that everyone is going to be hurt. And
I think, Jack, of course. Right now, why there are some stories going around that some of the municipalities are in trouble, but as time goes by, they're going to be in more and more trouble.
Yep.
And then, of course, they have their pension funds largely invested in stocks. But if the price of stocks goes down, then the value of their pension funds goes down. It could be that when a lot of the people get time for retirement, why they're not going to have the money simply to pay them. And if they can't tax the people, then they're going to have to cut the pensions. And this is my fear of what's going to happen.
And didn't Patrick Wood of August Review state something to the effect of the only secure investments in terms of paper investments was short-term treasury bills? Didn't he say 30, 60, 90 days?
Yeah, this was his suggestion. Thanks very much for calling.
Thank you.
Jack, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Let's go to Keith, who's calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, Keith. How are you doing?
I'm doing real well. I stay up late to listen to you guys a lot of times.
Well, I know it's 11 o'clock back there, so we appreciate you being up with us.
Oh, yeah. I had an interesting experience the other day. I'm in the refrigeration business, and I was putting in some equipment at a well-known mutual fund company here. I mean, it's a national company, but they have big offices here. I was talking to a friend of mine that worked there, and he advises people about mutual funds, 401ks and whatnot. And we were talking, I said that the dollar is going to get a haircut down to about 50 cents this year. And he said, yeah, it looks like it. Now, they do that, but yet they're still putting people in stocks. And then I told him that silver was $20 an ounce, and, he didn't know that.
Well, I think, unfortunately, a lot of financial advisors do what they're told to do, and that's how they keep their jobs, but an awful lot of people are going to lose their shirt because they've listened to their financial advisors. Let's get Melody's thoughts on that. Melody, what do you think?
Well, you're right. You know, these people who sell mutual funds, I mean, they make a living, they have a job, and they have to listen to the boss and do what they're told in order to, you know, feed their families. You know, on the other hand, a lot of them, they just know what they're told, and they certainly are never told about silver. They're never told about gold. You know, they are archaic. They're just a commodity. They're not, and most of these young brokers, most of them are in their 20s. So they're certainly not, even if they're in their 30s, most of them are not, they can't equate to a currency like gold and silver, so they just don't understand, and perhaps they are in a new age, but I believe the currencies and gold and silver will always carry on.
Amen. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Keith, before we let you go?
One thing that I heard tonight that I was espousing, and I've never heard anybody say, I'm originally from Pennsylvania, and we had oil wells on our property.
Right.
We got $35 a barrel for oil.
Right.
Gas was $29.9. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, yet today it's $100 for a barrel of oil, which is three times more, but the gas is roughly, 15 times.
Right. Yeah, well, they're ripping the American people off. Yeah. Because they want to impoverish us. This is what it's all about. When you understand that, there's no reason for the high prices. Suddenly they say, well, we have a shortage of refineries. Why do we have a shortage of refineries? Why haven't we built a refinery for 30 years? Why, very simply, because of the environmental movement. And who funds the environmental movement? Why, of course, the oil companies and our great tax-exempt foundations and our own government, creating the problem because they already have the solution worked out. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Okay.
Good night. God bless.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. And let's go to Terrell, who's calling from Athens, Ohio. Hi, Terrell. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan. I came to your meeting on in October on the 28th, and I had a wonderful time. I just wanted to thank you for that.
Well, I hope you want to come again this next year. We're going to have Dr. Russell Blaylock. I hope you'll come this next year. We're going to have Dr. Russell Blaylock. We're going to have Joanna Michelson, who wrote The Beautiful Side of Evil. She was a medium. And we got some great programs there. But I'm glad you enjoyed the program last year. Do you have a question for Melody?
Yes, sir, I do. my mother recently died, and there is an annuity that is coming due, or somehow, however, it's going to be worked, and it's in the neighborhood of about $100,000. Now, after all of the taxes are taken out and the penalties and so forth, it should probably be between maybe $85,000 and $90,000, and I certainly don't want to spend that. In Melody's opinion, what should I do with that money?
All right, I think that's a great question. Melody, what should he do with the money?
Well, I think you should put it into gold and silver. If you're looking for hard assets, I would break it down for 80% gold, 20% silver. And you can adjust that to 70% or 30% silver. A lot of it is due to the investors' objectives when it comes to that. But I go with an 80-20. I usually break up the 80% gold, and we'll give you some bullion coins and go into some various coins, and then the silver, we stay with the 90% silver and also the silver eagles.
Well, I just want to say one more thing. I probably will not be able to get my hands on that until probably June or July. Where do you think the prices of gold and silver will be at that time?
That's tough to say. if we see it, I think we could see some very high prices at the end of the year, but it depends on, the manipulation could be very strong at times. But if the dollar continues to stay here, they continue to cut rates, I think we could very well see 1,100, maybe even 1,200.
If it's for gold, and so the silver might be up to $22, $23 now. Hey, we're going to have to let you go because I've got...
All right, thank you so much.
God bless. Thanks for calling. And Melody, I want you to get your telephone number and your website out there.
The telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. We have lots of articles on there. You can also listen to the radio archives that we do. So if you have an opportunity, go there, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
All right, fine. And Sydney, we hope our listeners out there will go ahead and take what we say seriously, begin making preparations, get out of debt, get into a defensive position. Because I really fear that an awful lot of Americans are going to end up losing their homes. Why? Why? Because they got a mortgage on their home, and sometimes their mortgage will be higher than the value of the home as the home prices drop. And I think more and more people are going to be losing their jobs and won't be able to actually make the payments on their homes. We're in for some very difficult times. Do you agree, Melody?
Yes, I do. And, you know, folks, just like that gentleman, you know, if it's a couple months and gold is $1,100 or $1,200, that shouldn't stop you, because the problem is there. We're losing our value, our wealth, and gold and silver is only one way in which you can preserve your wealth.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, Melody, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
So don't let prices scare you away. And because I do talk to people where, you know, it's at 1,000, they think it's an all-time high and it's going to go down, so they allow that to swing their decisions in what they purchase and when they purchase. And I believe gold and silver is one way that will give you and preserve your wealth. Gold will give you the stability that you need while we're having a financial crisis. Silver is great. It's volatile. You don't want to place all your wealth and your stability on silver, because silver is the volatile metal. So that's why we want to keep the position 80-20, and it can vary. You know, it can vary either direction based on your objections and also mine. So, and my suggestions. So you can give us a call at 800-375-4188. Oftentimes we put together portfolios based on the suitability of you. We don't sell one type of coin or one type of metal to everybody, because sometimes, and depending on the budgets of everyone, it varies. So we take a look at each one, and we put together a personal portfolio for you. We'd be more than happy to look at your current holdings. We can price them out for you. We can make suggestions on, if you're adding to your portfolios, what would best suit your needs and to make your portfolio work best for you. All our clients are making money. I hear people who bought metal 2 years ago and they're yet to make a profit, and that's just horrible. So we put together a no-nonsense. We look at basics. We stick to basics. We keep things simple. And I believe if you follow those rules, you'll not only preserve your wealth, but you can make a lot of money also. So we'd be more than happy to help you. You just have to pick up that phone and dial.
All right, fine. And what number again will they dial?
It will be 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Well, I want to thank you, Melody. It's always a pleasure having you with us. And certainly we've been talking about this time for a long while, but now we're beginning to see this whole house of cards beginning to crumble. And, of course, Sydney, the dollar is falling, and that, of course, is the bellwether. And as a result of the fact that the value of the dollar is falling, the price of gold and silver and precious metals are rising. The average individual can't put it all together. But, of course, if the price of the dollar falls, why, of course, the price of gold and these other things are going to go up. But they're going up, I believe, far in excess of the fall of the dollar. So I think there's tremendous opportunities for people. And those people who take them will survive, and others, I feel, will fail. Good night. God bless.
Good night. God bless.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we do hope our listeners out there are concerned about what's happening, and we hope we can guide you through it. We don't have all the answers. I'm a retired orthopedic surgeon, but I've been studying these things for 45 years or more, and we get a lot of smart people with us, and certainly Bob Chapman, Pat Wood, other commentators, discussers of this, William Grieg, all certainly very, very educated and well-oriented as to what's going on. But if you'd like perhaps more information on what's really happening, you need to get a little pamphlet we've put together based upon my newsletters called The History of Money. And then, of course, there's another one called The Financial Meltdown. They are simply a compilation each of five of our newsletters, and but a tremendous amount of information there that will help you begin to prepare for what lies ahead. And then, of course, we carry the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. The Creature from Jekyll Island is back in print. This is certainly probably our bestseller. Very often on a weekend with our Amazon spot, we will sell 20 or more copies of The Creature from Jekyll Island all over the world to people who've heard about the book and want to know what's going on and how to position themselves. We also carry the book entitled The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton and his two books on gold, in addition, Gold for Survival, Gold for Investment, and then the book Fiat Money Inflation in France. And then, of course, if I could suggest my talk, it's called Financial Tsunami, and there's a syllabus that goes with that that will help you better to understand what's going on and all these interrelationships, and that's the Financial Tsunami. It's about a year and a half old, perhaps 2 years at the most, but everything that we predicted and talked about there is coming together. And, of course, you really need to understand what derivatives are. You need to understand the carry trade. You need to understand hedge funds. You need to understand what is behind our currency and why what has happened in past civilizations that have turned to a fiat money system, because, believe me, there's nothing new under the sun today. Well, certainly if you're interested in learning more about these items, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and so give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And then, of course, we hope you want to get into the spiritual aspect of what's going on. We have a three pamphlet set called The Occult Hierarchy. The Occult Hierarchy, and which will give you the background of the spiritual forces that are ruling the world. We actually have my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and of course, I think it's a very good, brief, concise introduction to the spiritual battle which is taking place today. And then, of course, you can get that on CD or audio tape as well. Then, of course, there is my talk on the Financial Tsunami. Pardon me, my talk on the Forbidden Secret. My talk on the Forbidden Secret. And it comes with a syllabus that will tell you the secret that has been passed down for 5,000 years that has brought wealth and fame and fortune to many of the great leaders of the past. You need to know what the secret is, but you certainly never, never, never want to utilize that. You need, of course, to get the videos, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Because, of course, the same process goes on within the political and corporate structure of America today. There really are people who've sold their souls for prosperity. And, unfortunately, they've got fame and wealth and fortune, and but, of course, at a terrible, terrible price. And then, of course, one of our most recent talks, Planned Police State. The planned police state, and it is will give you a good overview of everything that's going and the plans that they have today to declare martial law in America, and of course to round up Americans and put them into concentration camps. We have four CD set on concentration camps. We have a video. It's called America Behind Barbed Wire. Understand that we're dealing with evil and wicked people who have a different worldview because they worship a different God. Our number 1-800-544-8927, and we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming in from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Carol Matriciana. Carol was born in India, raised in India, was into the occult there. Of course, it's tremendous occult influences in India. Then eventually became a Christian. She's written one of the great classic books of modern times. It's called The Gods of the New Age. And then, of course, she put together a video. I guess that was, 20 years ago on that?
Yes, Dr. Stan. And actually, the book Gods of the New Age is coming up for re-release this in just a couple of months here, so I'm really excited.
Well, as soon as it comes out, we'll certainly want to carry it, and we'll want to get you onto all of our programs. We want people to know what you said 20 years ago, because it's just as true today as it was then, and perhaps even more true, as the influence of the occult permeates every aspect of American life, whether it be the Oprah Winfrey Show or so many of our television programs. But tragedy is, of course, it's infiltrating our churches today and changing the way the Christians think about God and about themselves. And so, certainly, we did a program earlier this week, and you feel free to just go ahead and cover much of the material you covered before, because you gave such a concise, view of really what's taking place today. So pick the story up there, Carol.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think the outrageous part of it is that here, this particular month of this particular time, which is the very heart of one of Christendom's sacred seasons of Easter and the Resurrection, we have Queen of the talk show hosts, Oprah Winfrey, that is speaking. She has just started up a live 10-week webinar, worldwide web seminar. It's amazing. And she is featuring a fellow called Eckhart Tolle, who is the author of A New Earth. Now, A New Earth is a book that was the 2008 New York Times number one bestseller. I mean, it's a book that teaches the New Age thinking, the whole concept of New Age spirituality. And, of course, Oprah supports this, and with her support and blessings on this book, an even wider audience is being reached. And so she has offered Eckhart Tolle's The New Earth on this sort of internet program. The moment that she endorsed this book, Dr. Stan, it was only a month ago, 3.5 million copies of the Spiritual Help, Self-Help Guide have been sent out to enlighten the minds of people all around the globe. And 500,000 people in 125 countries have already signed up to do this month-long, 10-week-long, I should say, seminar with Oprah and with Eckhart Tolle. And basically, Eckhart Tolle offers all these various spiritual influences, and it's all part of the New Age. It's nothing really new. But when you've got somebody like Oprah Winfrey, who has this prime-time pulpit at this Lent season, Palm Sunday, Easter season of ours, and she is able to herald the world community to wake up to her particular religiosity, and told New Earth religiosity. So here's this self-help spiritual book, and basically, it's all the same old messages that Oprah has always considered for the last 20 years. She gave her testimony some time ago that at the age of 27...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Well, Carol, you go right ahead. You were saying that that Oprah, at the age of something like 27, did what? What happened to?
Well,
where did she go?
She tells her audience that she's this Baptist. She was raised in a Baptist church, and that her Baptist Jesus is the same as this Jesus that she's talking about. But it's not. It's completely different. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, "Be careful in the last days, because there's going to be people that say the Christ is here, the Christ is there." And we've got a perfect example in Oprah, where here she was, raised in a Baptist church and completely embraced, raptured, as she puts it, with the teachings of her pastor. But one day he said that God was a jealous God, and this struck her. She says that it struck something in me, and jealous of me, God is jealous of me, she said, and something about that didn't feel right. I think it's very important to get this word feel. Didn't feel right in my spirit, because I believe that God is love and that God is in all things. And so I began with that, the search for something more than doctrine started to stir within me. Now, this is the very core of the New Age thinking, that experience, what I feel, is greater than doctrine. And if I feel that God is in me, and God is in everything, then that must be true. So she carries on. Oprah says that it's been a journey to get to a place where I understand that what I believe is that Jesus came to show us Christ consciousness. So here she is, and this Jesus that she is talking about is absolutely not the Jesus. It's the New Age Jesus. And she has been taking us step by step deeper into this New Age teaching that has permeated her philosophy for the last 20 years. And she pretends that this New Age Jesus is the same Jesus of her Baptist youth. And of course, it's absolutely not. At the beginning of this year, in January 2008, she started a program with a 365-day inspirational course, The Reflections of a Course in Miracles, with Marianne Williamson. And Marianne Williamson, every day of this year, is teaching completely with her, whatever the case, is this year-long study of a Course of Miracles, designed, once again, supported, endorsed by Oprah, designed for listener participation. And it's just leading people deeper and deeper into this paradigm shift, where ultimately the New Age says that we all have got to emerge into this, absorb ourselves.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Carol Matriciana, and Carol is simply pointing out that Oprah Winfrey has a wonderful, wonderful platform. And, of course, on that platform, she has set up these Internet teaching now. We're over 500,000 people?
3.5 million copies of this particular book went out, and 500,000 people in 125 countries are involved in her worldwide web seminar with Eckhart Tolle, the author of A New Earth. And she's just begun her 10-week seminar, A New Easter, her new spiritual Easter, her new spirituality.
And I think people really don't understand what's going on today. We carry a fascinating book. It's called The Secret Teachings of All Ages. It's written by a Satanist named Manly P. Hall. We do carry the book on a special list if you want to get a copy through Radio Liberty, but we don't recommend it unless you want to research this. But Manly P. Hall says that down through the ages, the members of the secret societies and the mystery religions have always left their emblems there. They hide them in plain sight. You can see them every day, but you don't recognize them, like the emblem on the back of the dollar bill. But, of course, Oprah Winfrey is on CBS. And if you look at the screen, you have CBS on. In the right lower quadrant of the screen, you'll see an emblem. It looks like an eye. And, of course, it's an occult emblem. It dates back thousands of years. It is no wonder at all that Oprah Winfrey, who is on CBS, would be pushing the occult. And, of course, this is what she's really doing. She's using her platform there on CBS, which is an occult radio network, to push her occult philosophy. She's made several billion dollars. She's one of the richest women in the world because, of course, her appearance is there and her endorsements and things of that sort. And now she's trying to lead other people, like the Pied Piper of Hamlet, to their destruction. So pick up the story, Carol.
Well, you know, incredibly, Dr. Stan, the Chicago Sun-Times called Oprah America's pastor. Can you believe that? This prime-time television lady has now been called America's pastor. And basically, her religion is that we are all God, and this idea is that we are at the essence, this God that we all are, this Christ consciousness, is the essence of the emerging global spirituality. So here she is this year not only promoting Marianne Williamson's 365 days a year, the idea that Marianne Williamson says, of course, that the recognition of God is the recognition of yourself. And this is the new spirituality that Marianne Williamson is pushing in her 365 lessons from the New Age Bible, A Course in Miracles. And she goes on Oprah's satellite radio show. Well, with that going on, and then we have Oprah's World is Oprah Classroom. And this is this thing with Eckhart Tolle, where Monday night, the largest single online event in the history of the Internet, more than 500,000 people, simultaneously log on to watch Oprah Winfrey and Eckhart Tolle. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. As they go through having this sort of spiritual, this new spirituality classroom, where Oprah explains that this is a classroom larger than anyone could imagine, and we're going to be streaming live throughout the world, she says. And I think the interest will just keep growing. So she is very, very enthusiastic about not only the Course in Miracles that is a daily thing going on, but now we've got our 10-week Easter, the new Easter, with Eckhart Tolle, who basically says the essence of who we are is God. And then, of course, if you remember, Oprah was the one that enthusiastically embraced that Rhonda Byrne's bestseller, The Secret. And that, of course, was all part of... Rhonda Byrne said that you are God in a physical body. So here we have Oprah going on and on and on about awakening ourselves in this new earth, which is called Awakening to Your Soul's Purpose. They talk about that we are God and that we need to plug into Christ is our God essence, and the self is this big Christ consciousness that we have to understand the indwelling divinity within everything so we can bring in the global, new, unifying essence of the world's religions. And this is what this mystical New Age is all about. And when I wrote my book 20 years ago, I was warning that the New Age was on the fringes of the church. In those days, Robert Schuller was beginning with Norman Vincent Peale's idea of psychology, the positive thinking, but it was all on the fringes. And since then, we've had the huge rise of so-called Christian psychology come into the church, and now this Eastern mysticism. We've got, of course, Christian yoga, where you go within yourself and discover your divinity. And I made a film a few months ago called Yoga Uncoiled, which is showing how you unleash this serpentinian divinity within yourself, this coiled serpent that is awakens this kundalini power within yourself so that you can realize that you are God and form with Brahman, yoke with the big consciousness, the divinity of the entire earth, so that we can all become one. And it's just, it's amazing. It's happening so quickly, so speedily, Dr. Stan. You know, it's almost beyond recognition to think that this is just now on prime time television or prime time with a prime time speaker like Oprah Winfrey, that she can be proposing and endorsing Eckhart Tolle's spirituality, which of course embraces not only German mystic Meister Eckhart, but Vedanta, Hindu philosophy of the self with the whole, and he supports the Course in Miracles, which of course is the Eastern religious idea of, well, actually, the Course of Miracles supposedly was the inner voice of the person that channeled this was the Christ. The Christ was speaking through Helen Schumann, who is the writer of A Course in Miracles, and this voice identified itself as Christ, but it's nothing to do with the Jesus of the Bible.
What you really,
Jesus, and basically telling everybody to come together in this oneness, and so we have a very, very interesting problem happening that it always seems at the time of our big holidays, you know, our sacred, for instance, at Easter now, Oprah's doing this, and do you remember at Christmas this atheist, the film industry, the entertainment industry came in with the Golden Compass, a complete atheist agenda at Christmas time in the cinemas. Of course, it bombed, but the point is that it's almost like our Christian traditional holidays are just being taken over by extraordinary false gospels and false Christs and false spirits.
But don't you think that this is all part of the plan? In fact, what really was so interesting, this idea that we are God. Now, who in their right mind would believe that they themselves are God? And yet, of course, if you go back to the Garden of Eden and the serpent, and what did the serpent say? Why, of course, that if you would eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can be as God, and ye shall never die. And, of course, this idea of reincarnation and this fact that you are God is an integral part of this philosophy that is being espoused by Sidney, the occultists all throughout the world today, whether it be the Hindu religion or the New Age religion, which is being promoted by major television channels in the United States. And the average individual has no idea what's really going on, do they?
No. In fact, it's interesting because Eckhart Tolle, this fellow that's written the book that Oprah's endorsing, The New Earth, he actually takes from the Bible, and he takes out these scriptures, and he's this particular scripture that he's taken out, which other gurus of India and godmen have taken before him, but Tolle says that in his book, Being in the Now, that was the first book he wrote, The Power of Now, and then the second one that Oprah's going on about is The New Earth, but he said in that, be still and know that I am God. Well, they take that verse and they say that in order to do this, you go within yourself and you meditate within yourself, be still within yourself and discover the God within you. Well, that is so taken out of context. That particular verse in the Bible with God was saying, be quiet and know that I'm going to get this done. And it was God saying that he was going to do something. Be calm, realize I'm going to do it. But here the mystics have taken this verse and said that go within yourself in your yogic meditation trance and through an altered state of consciousness, discover the divinity within you. And of course that idea of going into the altered state of consciousness, going within to somehow convince yourself that you can now merge with Brahman, the greater of the force of the world, the forces out there, the sort of cosmic impersonal God of Eastern mysticism, that you merge with that, you lose your own identity, merge with this greater blob of nothingness and become a nothingness. And so God is nothing, you're nothing. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, of course, Carol, that so many people out there, they're searching for the meaning of life. They look around them, they don't see any real satisfaction in the materialism of our society. They see the inconsistency of our spiritual leaders, the corruption of many of our ministers, or simply using their ministry to advance their own financial power. And certainly some of these people are making fantastic sums of money, simply saying, give us the money, you know, you're not going to get anything from God unless you pay us. Give us the money and we'll pray for you.
It is. It's amazing. It's you can see why so many people become disenchanted with that kind of commercialism, Christian commercialism and Christian consumerism, and you can see how people have got disillusioned with the mega church and the seeker-friendly church. And I was in the airport the other day and saw the number one book in the airport bookstore was Joel Osteen's whatever it was, rhetoric on, you know, whatever he teaches, which is all part of the self-help pop psychology, that if we just go within ourselves and be positive thinkers, we can do anything. Well, if that was the case, we just need to look around at the world around us. Things aren't getting better. Things are getting worse, chaotic, terrorism, crime, drugs. If everybody could just tap into this energy and be positive and think that, you know, everything could get better, then we surely would see the manifestation of it. But indeed, what we're seeing is people plugging into this inner self, which, by the way, in Jeremiah 17, it says that there's no good thing within us. So why would we go within ourselves? Our hearts are deceptively wicked, and out of our hearts comes corruption, which Jesus said. So we have to look outside at God himself, who sent Jesus, and put our hope into Jesus, who is the one that can change our lives, transform our thinking, change our value, our worldview. And at this time at Christmas, I mean, this time of Easter, what a wonderful thing to look at how Christ was able to conquer death and resurrect. And yet here we've got Oprah Winfrey giving us her new Easter, Oprah's new Easter, where thousands and thousands of people are signing in to speak to Eckhart Tolle about his complete eclectic views on Hindu philosophy, mystical Islam, Sufism, Zen Buddhism, and some of the sayings of Jesus from the Bible that are all a mixture of just nonsense.
Yeah, well, of course,
and, this is the way that we're going to find peace and know that we're God's. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, let's say we've got Daryl calling in from Johnstown, New York. Incidentally, we'll take calls. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Daryl at Johnstown, New York. Is that upstate New York, Daryl?
Yes, it is. Good morning to you both. It's morning here.
All right, fine. We appreciate
well, good morning.
We appreciate you staying up late to listen to us there, back. And are you close to Attica or Utica?
No. I'm up in the foothills of the Adirondacks. I'm about 60 miles north and west of the capital, Albany.
How are you hearing us? Are you hearing us on shortwave, internet, or the station there?
FM.
Okay, fine. Go ahead. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, actually, just a statement. I've noticed that Oprah Winfrey backs Barack Obama. And I've wondered if he is part of her occult. Because we don't really know an awful lot about this presidential candidate. What I've heard so far is not very good. He's involved with Farrakhan, a bomber, his preacher, considers the rich white man to be the devil. I mean, there's really just not an awful lot we know about him, and the mainstream media seems to refuse to ask him.
Hold that thought for just a moment. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Carol Matriciana. We have Daryl calling us from Johnstown, New York, and incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-24-LIBERTY if you have a question for our guest. And Daryl is calling, and he is saying, you know, of course, Oprah Winfrey is backing, you know, Obama, Barack Obama, or Barack Hussein Obama, Obama, if you want to use his middle name, Hussein. And, of course, Cindy Daryl is wondering if the support for Obama has anything to do with his spiritual battle, since we don't know too much about Obama and what he really believes. Do you have any thoughts on that at all, Carol?
Well, I think he definitely, we do sort of know what he believes just by association of who he keeps in touch with. And, Darrell, you're absolutely right. I mean, Barack Obama's pastor and top spiritual advisor has, in, you know, says, God bless America, God damn America, says he. It was in an ABC News review today where a lot of what he has said was exposed, and it was very amazing that here's this man, because Obama has praised Reverend Wright regularly. He's praised his social gospel and his focus on Africa, and yet here is this man who has openly said that no, God damn America, that's in the Bible, for killing innocent people. He says he is absolutely anti-America. He is he has said some terrifying, I mean, extraordinary things.
You're speaking now of Reverend Wright.
News said something that Barack knows what it means to live in this country. I mean, here we had some other things that were said, but Barack was raised by a Muslim. You can tell that. His father was a Muslim. His mother, even though she was white, you know, there hasn't been very many decent, I mean, she hasn't spoken for white America, Caucasian America. It's been a very racist point of view, and I think when you realize that Barack says that he's a Christian and yet has tied himself up with this fellow that is certainly anti-America, his pastor is very has said some extraordinary things. I mean, he's declined to be interviewed by ABC News when you know, because he's considered to be one of the most 10 most influential black pastors according to Obama's campaign, and yet he has said some terrible things about America.
All right, does that answer your question, Darrell?
Yes, and another thing is, which is also very frightening, mainstream media refuses to ask Barack Obama a lot of questions that other politicians or anybody running for office would normally be asked.
No, Darrell, I think that's very insightful, and I think another thing is that we need to ask, with this man that has come up from absolutely nowhere, he has been funded very deeply with pro-Arab money.
Yes.
Now, when you realize that he's got pro-Arab money, that comes with a price. I mean, there is definitely, you know, we know the Arab sentiments against the Jews, and one of the very first things that he said, if he became president, he would have a pro-Muslim summit. Now, you know, if you go to my film on Islam that I made, Training Children to Kill, and see some of the horrendous concepts of Quran-believing Muslims, it is very frightening that the first thing that Barack wants to do is put together a Muslim summit.
So we're in real trouble, Darrell.
When he said that he would meet with any world leaders, in my eyes, he's just prepping us what he plans to do already. He's already got plans.
Well, remember, of course, his advisor is a man named Zbigniew Brzezinski. Zbigniew Brzezinski, of course, was the man who created the Trilateral Commission for David Rockefeller. He is the Democratic extension of the establishment. Henry Kissinger, of course, is on the other side, but they both work for David Rockefeller. They're dedicated to world government and to the occultism. And really what's amazing, if you look at the logos of the Trilateral Commission, the initial one, or even the one that is present today on their website, it consists of three sixes joined together in the middle by an upside-down broken cross. Most people wouldn't see it, but it's there. And you have to ask yourself, why would Barack Obama have as his major advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski? In fact, Brzezinski's written a book called The Second Chance, talking about his support for Obama. So understand, it really doesn't matter whether you get Hillary Clinton, whether you get Obama, whether you get John McCain. They're all going to be controlled by the same people. And the ultimate goal is the destruction of America and the institution of a one-world government a one world religion, and the enthronement of a world leader. Hey, thanks for calling, Daryl. Do you have anything else you want to say?
Just one short thing.
Hold on, Tom. Hang on then for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Go ahead, Daryl. What did you want to say?
Well, one quick thing, Dr. Stan and Carol. The more we talk about it, the more we fight against our biggest fear, the lack of knowledge and the ignorance of the American people.
And, of course, we're so fortunate at this time in history to have a voice that can be heard right up there in Johnstown, New York. Thank you so very much for listening.
Yeah, that's incredible. Daryl, do you remember a year ago in February 2007 when Barack Obama was interviewed by the New York Times? And he said this, that the Muslim call to prayer is one of the prettiest sounds on earth. And then he recited it with a first-class Arabic accent, according to the Times. And he actually opened up with his line to prayer, Allah is supreme, Allah is supreme, Allah is supreme. I witness no other God but Allah. I mean, it was incredible. That has been kept very quiet, and people say, well, he's a Christian. But, Obama's Muslim background has been kept very quiet, and yet it is there.
Well, the occult has many guises.
You're absolutely right, and of course, this is the common denominator behind all of this. I'm glad you recognize it. There is a spiritual battle going on today, and we talk about politics, we talk about ideology, we talk about nations, but we totally ignore the spiritual. You're absolutely right. We're in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, and most people don't even know the battle's going on, do they?
And I thank you both, and please keep talking.
We will, and God bless.
America may wake up, or you may have a small chance.
Well, our job is to talk. The outcome is up to God. Thanks so much, Daryl.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. It's so encouraging to me to realize that we have listeners all across America. Tonight and really every night. And of course, what Carol is really bringing out is the occult forces that are working behind the scenes, that are working not only, in society, but they're even working within the church. And that's really one of the most disturbing things to me, is the fact that so many Christians are falling away from the faith, and yet we're told in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, that before the man of sin is exposed or revealed, there'll be a great falling away. Do you think that's what's happening today, Carol?
Oh, I do believe so, Dr. Stan. I think that the falling away from the faith, Jesus said that when he returns to the earth in Luke 18, I believe, that how many will have the faith? And when we consider the faith of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God...
Hold that thought, Carol. We've got to bring our stations on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Carol Matrician. And before we go on, let me put our telephone number out again. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But, Carol, I want you to get out your telephone number and your website so people will know how to get in touch with you.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Stan. They can go onto my website, which is my name, Caryl, spelled a little different, Caryl, www.caryltv, like television.com. So that's caryltv.com. And there's my order line. They can have a free newsletter. They just put in their subscribe to a free monthly newsletter. In fact, this month is all about Islam and how it is doing in America. There's a little blurb on Obama in it too, but this whole connection with Obama is amazing, because not only did he say this Muslim call to prayer, but Louis Farrakhan, the 74-year-old Farrakhan, who we all know what he stands for, he says that Barack Obama is the hope of the entire world. He says this young man is the hope of the entire world, that America will change and be made better. This young man is capturing audiences of black and brown and red and yellow, And if you look at Barack Obama's audiences and look at the effect of his words, those people are being transformed. Now, you know, here we've got Farrakhan has compared Obama to the religion's founder, Muhammad, who also had a white mother and a black father. And so he said that a black man with a white mother became a savior to us. So here he is comparing Barack Obama, a black man with a white mother, could turn out to be one who can lift America from her fall.
Well,
I mean,
the other thing is, of course,
incredible stuff that the press just do not let us know about.
Well, we live in a world gone mad sometimes, Carol, but I really believe that if God is just, he's going to bring justice, he's going to bring his judgment on America, and who knows that maybe what's happening today. Well, let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray, did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, from Carol. I was wondering, you know, it would seem to me that the Masons, who really actually, there's a Masonic influence in this government that we have, okay, a strong Masonic influence in Washington, D.C., and I was wondering, why would they want somebody like Obama to be president unless they foresee him as being some kind of instrument to use to start a world war, or how would that work? Because since he is a Muslim, why would they want a Muslim to be president?
Well, let's go ahead and get Carol's response. Do you have any thoughts at all on this, as far as the Masonic influence in Washington, D.C., and of course, apparently there is a lot of support for Obama. I don't know whether it's coming from the Masons, but there is a lot of support for him. He seems to have come out of nowhere and gotten tremendous support from the media. What are your thoughts? Do you have any thoughts on that, Carol?
Well, according to all the reports I've read, what really amazes me is I think you've always got to follow the money, you know, because the money talks. And it's Arab money that has backed him. So if we've got Arab money wanting to bring somebody in, and remember that the Arab agenda is world ummah, which means one world government, in the same way that they want all countries to come under Sharia law. They truly believe that Sharia law, the law of the Muslim, the law of Allah, is going to be the saving grace. So the number one hatred is against the Jews. So here when we've got America, in a sense, what little support that we give to the Jews in a sense with Israel, if that gets taken away from a biblical perspective, it's very interesting, because the Bible says that all nations will be against Israel, which will herald in Armageddon and the Third World War. So it's very interesting dynamics.
It's also very frightening, because Obama, if he's a staunch Muslim, it would be quite dangerous for him to, you know, to, I think for him to be president, I think just knowing about it, it makes me feel, you know.
Ray, look at the choices we have. We have Hillary, we have Obama, we have McCain, and if you know anything about McCain, you realize, of course, that he went over to the North Vietnamese when he was a prisoner. He collaborated with them, but even more than that, of course, he did everything he could back in 1991, 1992, the hearings there, to prevent the word from getting out about all the other POWs that were left, that were abandoned there, and he condemned those courageous men who were prisoners of and abandoned after the peace negotiations in 1974. He left them there to die. And so this is not an honorable man. So we really don't have a choice. If you understand that, why, of course, you look at Obama, you look at Hillary, you look at McCain. I mean, do you want to be shot? Do you want to be hung? Roasted alive? I don't like any of the alternatives.
No, there's really no alternative except for us to turn to the gospel in a big way. I mean, during the 80s and the 90s, people were driven away from the church. I could understand for people like Rick Warren and Reverend Schuller and people like that that have poisoned the church, you know, Cardinal Mahoney, for instance. There's some really bad people that are running the churches. So I can understand why people are, you know, we're driven away from it for a while, but now it's the time to go back.
Let's get Carol's response to that, because of course I totally agree with you. The only hope we have is in our Lord. Carol, how would you respond to Ray's remark?
Well, Ray, what's happening is that we have got a new church which is coming up, emerging church, the reinventing of Christianity, and that is called the Emergent Church. That was birthed out of the seeker-friendly and mega churches where people got disillusioned with corporate Christianity, if you will. So now we've got the social gospel coming in. Rick Warren has merged with
the
United
backlash.
Nations Peace Plan, bringing in this new purpose-driven church, merging with the emergent church, where you have got these new evangelicals saying that the new people, and they're targeting 18 to 30-year-olds, this postmodern generation. Now, nowhere in the Bible are we told to target a culture, target a particular age group, target the postmoderns. This isn't even a biblical concept, but the emergent church is coming in, targeting this group of young people, disillusioned people, saying that experience is more important than doctrine.
Right.
And here, when we've got Oprah Winfrey saying the same thing, that she says that she had this feeling that just didn't sit right in her spirit, that God was a jealous God, so I believe God is in all things, she said, and that I had to search for something more than doctrine to stir within me.
Now, the Catholic Church, they've gone back to the Latin Mass now. And there's, as a matter of fact, I'm one of my good friends is a Catholic priest. He's also a lawyer. The Latin Mass is becoming very popular again. Because it's really, Latin Mass hadn't been changed in 2,000 years. It remains the same. They can't get in there and change. They can't have these corrupt bishops and cardinals get in there and change the Latin Mass. They can't change it. And that's a good thing.
Well, yes and no, Ray. The thing is that the Catholic religion came in way after the New Testament gospel. When you realize that when Jesus said to Peter, Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said that you're the Christ. He wasn't talking about the Catholic bloodline of Peter being the Pope, but rather that this faith that Peter had said, you are the Christ, this is going to be the foundation of the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
But what I'm trying to say is that it's a good thing that things like that are going on, because, you see, without true faith and belief in the gospel as it is written, you end up with something monstrous, like the purpose-driven church. I can't imagine myself.
But Ray, how can anybody understand a Latin Mass? I mean, people today don't even speak
Latin.
Yeah,
that's the trouble.
So going
back
to Latin isn't going to help.
That's why they came out with a Novus Ordo. Yeah, but it hadn't been changed in 2,000 years, and I'm not a real fan of the Latin Mass myself. I
was raised a Catholic, and I've done Latin Mass, but that's nothing. That's just ritual, that ceremony. It wasn't until I was led to the Bible to be able to see what Jesus said and what Jesus taught to the apostles, and what the apostles, based on the prophets' teachings, and Paul was able to, in an incredible way, explain those basics, which are what the church is all about, not what came after it, several hundreds of years after it Catholicism.
I don't disagree with you on that point, but I do think that it's a good thing that people are now wanting to get to the meaning of the Bible, and that's a good thing. Even Catholics, Protestants,
yes,
lot of people.
No, because once again, if you say that they're going back to the Latin Mass, they're not getting the meaning, because Catholics
believe
as I did, and what we are taught.
Okay, but we've got some other people on the line. I think the important thing I think we can all agree on is getting back to the Scriptures and knowing, of course, what God's Word is.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks so much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
And of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think, as Ray suggests, a lot of people, and of course Ray's coming from a Catholic perspective, but a lot of Catholics are looking for the meaning of life. A lot of Protestants are looking for the meaning of life. A lot of average people who are not Christians at all are looking for the meaning of life. But the question is, are they doing the right thing when they begin following the leadership of Oprah Winfrey? We like Oprah. She's so funny. She's got a good sense of humor. But of course, unfortunately, she's preaching a false gospel, and she's leading people into apostasy. Would you agree with that?
I certainly would, because she says that God is within us and that she is promoting Christ consciousness, and that she believes that Jesus came to show us Christ consciousness. Well, that isn't at all what Jesus did.
Yeah.
Jesus came to forgive us our sins, died on the cross, paid the penalty so that we could be united with God, because in our sinful frame we had lost communion and contact with God. But what's happening today is that the emergent church, these new evangelicals, are taking us back, what they're calling vintage Christianity, back to desert fathers and back to Catholic mysticism, which came way after the gospel. So once again, we're not getting back to the very, very, very basics of what Jesus taught and what Jesus taught the apostles, and keeping with what Paul said is the gospel, the Spirit, the Jesus. And so if we aren't rooted in what the church deemed orthodox doctrine Christianity, then we are going to fall prey to emergent teachings, which is mystical teachings, which is what Oprah is telling us, that we can find Christ within us. And we've got the emergent church today, which are going back to rituals and doing the labyrinths and walking the labyrinths, which is nothing more than the stations of the cross in a way, which is ritual and ceremony rather than getting into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus.
And of course, it's really sort of a return to mystical Christianity, which
yes,
of course
it is.
It's really Christian mysticism, which has nothing to do with the gospel. Well, let's go to Joe, who's calling from Michigan. Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Dr.
Doing
Jay?
Fine. Do you have a question or comment?
I have a comment, actually. I don't mean to be rude or anything. Honestly, I don't, but I have studied this quite a bit. I'm sorry, but your caller would happen to be wrong regarding the Catholic Church. I mean, When Jesus said to Simon, "I will now call you Peter the Rock, and on this rock I will build my church," Peter was the first pope. And if you go through the transliteration and the translation in Greek, you can find that out very readily. There's presently 265 pontiffs from Peter, and there's presently 30,000 different religions in the world. And the reason there's some 30,000 different religions is because all these different churches have sprouted up because they want to interpret the Bible in their own way.
Okay, Joe, that is one of the major differences between the Protestant and the Catholic Church, is the interpretation of that one statement. Upon this rock I will build my church,
right,
was what Jesus said after Peter had said, of course, that you are the Christ. And of course, the Protestant feels that it was upon the statement that had been made. The Catholic believes it was upon the upon Peter himself, who they claim was the first coach. So we could argue that certainly indefinitely, but this is the great difference between the Protestants and the Catholics. But the major thing is that there are a lot of Catholics who are good Christians because they believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ, the birth, death, and resurrection. And but we get on to an argument of doctrine while we get into real problems. So I think we ought to agree on the things we can agree upon, and agree that there are certain things we're not going to agree upon.
Yeah, but the key is to look at the Greek, and if you aren't going to talk about the Greek, then you aren't going to come up with the full truth. You have
All
to
right, Carol, how would you respond to Joe, who takes us to the Greek, which I don't happen to read?
Joe, just help me understand. So what you're saying is that, is it upon this rock? Is it upon the faith that Peter said that I believe that you are the Messiah?
No, of course, the whole idea, of course, Carol, is the fact that the word Peter means rock. And of course, when Christ said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," the Catholic says, "Why, the rock was Peter." The Protestant says it was upon the statement.
Okay.
Anyway, Joe, thank you so much for calling, and certainly we appreciate your listening and hope that you
continue.
I
wasn't trying to be rude. I was just being, letting you know what I...
I think that's important. People understand how important that one statement is, because it was one of the major things that separated Catholicism from Protestantism, and of course. But let's agree on the things we can agree on, okay?
Amen.
God bless. Thanks for being with us. Let's go quickly to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Mike, did you have a quick comment?
Two actually, and they are quick. That thing about Jesus and the rock that he was. Where he was standing, on a literal rock, and that's the rock he was referring to, and I'll tell you why. It's because the gates of hell, this is at Caesarea Philippi, the gates of hell he was referring to were literally, physically, right below him down a cliff. There's some water, and there's a temple of Pan right there, and the entrance to that temple was a cave at the water's edge. And it was actually called, the people he was speaking to knew that to be called the gates of hell.
All right.
That's the context.
All right, fine. Thanks.
And so he was saying even this rock, you could say even on this rock where Satan or Pan has his home, I will build my church.
All right.
That's
God
the
bless.
Meaning of that passage.
Thanks so much.
Now,
Okay, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, sorry.
All right, fine. And so let's quickly go to Jack, who's calling from Michigan. Jack, did you have a quick question or comment?
Well, Dr. Stan, yes. I am from a generational Roman Catholic family, and I was an altar boy back the very year that the Latin Mass was discontinued. I was becoming an altar boy. I then became a minister of communion, etc. And...
But you have a question, Carl, because we're just about out of time.
Yeah, here. Okay. I just want to say that I really appreciate your guest speaking as she has, because in her words is a testimony of being born again. And Dr. Stan, until my dad died and I got a Roman Catholic Douay Bible from the veterans, did I ever open the good book and read the good news of salvation through the shed blood and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah. And it wasn't by consuming the actual body and blood of Christ. It wasn't the sacrament. None of that. There was a gnawing void that never ceased until I did discover the good news and became born again.
All right, God bless, and thanks so much for calling, Jack. And Carol, we're just about out of time. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Well, I want to thank Jack very much, and I think at Easter time, this is exactly what we need to get back to, the incredible sacrifice that the Word made flesh came down, dwelt amongst us so that he could die in our place so that we could be united with him for eternity. And what a wonderful Easter gift and thought that is. And I hope that people just stand up against Oprah's new Easter and, complain that this her Easter message is not the biblical Christ, even though she intersperses her Easter message with Jesus and Christ consciousness that has got nothing to do with the Jesus that Jack just talked about.
And, of course, basically, if you understand this idea of consciousness, this is a New Age phrase, in fact, that Barbara Marx Hubbard, in her book, the Revelation, talks about the fact they're going to have to eliminate, the one part of the world that will not suddenly evolve into a higher state of consciousness. So when they begin using these terms, understand that...
Yes. Well, it loses the personal touch of Jesus, a very personal touch of God that came down personally to reunite us to him in a personal way. But this idea of consciousness makes us lose our personality and just merge into the huge blob of void nothingness and lose...
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, our guest has been Carol Matriciana. Fascinating. I really appreciate so much your being with us, Carol. And I hope that at least many of our listeners out there are forewarned about certainly the problem that we have as far as Oprah and this Marianne Williamson and the Eckhart Group and all of these people who would lead us away from the true faith. And although Catholics and Protestants may differ, you know, in their interpretation of the, of certain doctrines, the important thing that joins us all together is the fact that we believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that is the important thing that we have to stress. And hopefully, well, we can have some other discussions some other time. Anyway, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Thank you to all your listeners.
Good night. God bless.
Good night.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I hope you enjoyed our program this evening. And of course, we hope that many of you will certainly want to get my book on the Brotherhood of Darkness to understand the essence of the spiritual battle that's taking place today. And then, of course, you'll want to get the talk on the forbidden secret, because we have to understand that there has been an attack on belief in God going back 5,000 years and on Christianity for 2,000 years. And it has been carried down by the secret societies and the mystery religions. And, of course, today we see many manifestations of the beliefs of the mystery religions, and this would be in the religions that are being taught by Oprah Winfrey and Marianne Williamson and Eckhart, and certainly are being taught through the emerging church. They're being taught in every way and manner today. Why? It's to take people away from the very simple message of Christianity, that Christ came to earth to give his life, to die for our sins. And that's why we need a Savior. We're all sinners. Well, that idea has been pretty well taken out of the church today. It's been replaced by the idea that God is only love, and if God is only love, and if there is no judgment, there is no punishment for sin, then there's no reason for a Savior. And our job is to get people to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Certainly, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We hope that you'll go to our webpage. Now, if you have access to the Internet, you can listen to our programs at radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. You can listen 9 hours a day to a broadcast. And, of course, our good friend Joyce Riley is there. Chuck Christmeyer, Pastor Butch Paul. Chuck Christmeyer was an attorney for 18 years before God called him into the ministry. He does a great job. You'll enjoy his programs. And they can be heard on Telstar 5 or certainly on the live programs that we do there. You can actually hear our live feed to the satellite, and it's carried on 9 hours a day. And then you can listen to our DVDs, or you can watch our DVDs at radioliberty.com. You can read our newsletters. You can read many of the articles we've posted there, which we think are important and well worthwhile. And then, of course, we hope that if you are in a position to help us, why, we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. I would simply mention, if you'd like to get a free catalog of any sort, we have a regular catalog. We have a CD catalog with all of our products listed on it. We have an emergency food catalog, a health catalog. You can have any one or all of them if you give us a call. If you'd like a free newsletter and you don't have access to the Internet, we can be glad to send it to you. But if you have access to the Internet, remember www.radioliberty.com. And simply go there, and everything on the website is free of charge. We hope that you'll want to watch those DVDs, listen to the programs, read the newsletters, and hopefully they will draw you closer to our Lord. Now, I'm not a minister, but I'm trying to point out that we're involved in a very real spiritual battle. Unless you understand that Christianity is under attack today, you can't understand anything going on in the move towards the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. So until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.